Well, and your poem makes, especially the way Janet writes her poetry, you're covering a lot of territory in few lines, and to have to try and change the musical theme to match all these different concepts that are coming out, you know, in rapid fire,
right.
That probably does pose some problems.
There is one, I think, advantage in an audience. When you're doing a performance art, you know, when you're doing poetry to music, usually people are there because they are sitting there and intently want to listen and get a message, versus people that are just hanging out probably at a bar while you're doing some sort of cover, and they can just easily tune you out and, you know, continue doing something else, talking with other friends and drinking.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. Oh, that's true. That is one thing. Yeah. But if you're playing in a cover band or music, that's true. People are usually continue to do their own thing, play pool or whatever they're doing at a bar, whereas if you're now doing performance art or poetry, you tend to have more of an audience.
You have a much more captive audience because they actually want to hear every sort of detail and get understand the meaning behind what's said as well. So I think that helps a lot. That's a difference in the audience, which gives a different feeling when you're performing the work as well.
What happened when I was already nervous, John? I think that would be an advantage because of the idiots you come across that have had too many beers,
yeah.
And you know, and they just lose control. And in that your type of situation you're describing, that would seem to me never happen.
No, it doesn't.
Somebody overdoses on a few too many cappuccinos or something, has a caffeine buzz going on or something. I don't know. Let me ask you: has there ever been an odd situation at one of your performances or whatever? Now, you don't have to tell us anything embarrassing if there are thousands of people. But has there been an episode that was, you know, that maybe you'd like to recall, or maybe you've been fortunate and there haven't been?
I wouldn't say odd. I do know that from our open mics, one bartender would be like, "Hey, can you do Beat It Again by Michael Jackson? Then I'll be happy." You know, or people will request things like that. Someone, you know, came up and asked, you know, "Hey, do you happen to know this song? Can you cover this?" And, you know, we get that a lot.
Or somebody comes up to join you in singing.
The open mic, yes.
Yeah, and they're not carrying a Mai Tai in one hand and a long
hand. They're carrying a different tune is what they're carrying.
Oh, man. So you haven't had any wacko nut jobs walk right up to you and stand nose to nose with you in front of the microphone for an entire set?
No. I think once from a past show that I did with the band Mom's Favorite Vase, I was performing, and one guy was drunk enough that he just stood 2 or 3 feet away from me because it was a 1 foot riser part of stage, and just sat there and stared at me really close the whole time. But you just have to, you know, shut that off and maybe they'll just leave, which is what he did. I think he got bored with standing there in one spot too long, really.
That he throws up. That's always delightful. Hey, there we go. Yeah, what happens to these people? You know, maybe one of our listeners out there is realizing, hey, I remember when I did that. I better not do that anymore.
I don't know.
We were playing a gig years ago at a college bar, and lead singer's out there, you know, in the front of the band standing there. And a guy literally walks up, you know, his toes are touching the base of the mic stand. And he's just standing there going, yeah, you know.
Oh,
and then he's out of his pocket. We thought he was getting out M&Ms, and it was handfuls of narcotics.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's just saying, hey, read some of these things. And then, of course, they came and got him. But
no, I think this was just a beer haze that this guy was in.
Oh, good.
You know.
Maybe you're sparing yourself from the gutters of some of the less gifted of our society. Let's get into a completely different vein. We're going to play this is an 8-minute track you're about to hear. And, well, I'll let you set it up for him. It starts with Too Far.
What is this one about? This is from the Liza concert in Alaska.
In Alaska, that's right.
This was one of those situations where we just, that day we found out that we were doing this show. We were just in town for the week. We were borrowing someone else's guitar.
And we were drinking heavily.
And so we didn't have a lot of material, but we did, I think, an 18-song set. But we were trying to come up with things to do, and he did a whole intro, I believe, of 8 instrumentals where he was just going at it at the guitar, which was really cool. And so while we were there, I said, well, you know, if you've got a piece, I can just come up with something to read, which is what we did for these three pieces that you've got. One is the poem called Too Far. One is called The Burning. And the last one's kind of a funny one. It's called On an Airplane with a Frequent Flyer.
So live from Alaska. That is great, man. I'd like to get up to Alaska sometime before I croak.
This is the time of year to go up there so you can see the aurora borealis.
A solar flare is probably doing a phenomenal thing to the sky right now.
Yeah, especially last week with the back-to-back solar storms passing.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Someday, but I work 7 days a week, so I don't have much time to get to Alaska.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Here's the track live in Alaska from the second action.